Welcome to another episode of Critical Success. I'm James D'Amato, your Game Master. And right now I'm recovering from the housewarming party I threw earlier this week, so you might notice my voice is a little bit different. But I suppose that's the price I pay for doing it the day before I recorded this episode. I'd like to remind everyone that Critical Success is the companion podcast to One Shot, which is also aired on the Peaches and Hot Sauce Network. This week on One Shot, we'll be concluding our Lovecraftian-themed Everyone is John adventure. We're also gearing up for a big Star Wars episode this month, where we compare the Star Wars D20 system to the new Fantasy Flight Star Wars system. It's definitely going to be a good listen, so you should check it out. With all that out of the way, let's dive right in with a listener question. This week, listener Howard Collins emailed us several questions that I think all need to be addressed. However, I think each one deserves its own episode. We'll start off with one that I think everyone could stand to think a little bit more about. What kind of game system should someone use? I've been having a lot of discussions about detailed/abstract and reductive/additive systems and would like to hear an analysis of what system to use in different game types. This is a great question. I know when I started gaming, I was a one-system person. D&D 3.5 was my thing, and I couldn't foresee myself enjoying any other system. I actually thought getting into anything with less name recognition than D&D was somehow going to make me an ultra nerd. And yes, I realize how insane that sounds. I was a grown man who enjoyed pretending to be a sorcerer, and I thought about Spider-Man as much as most people think about sex. Clearly, the threshold for ultra nerd had already been crossed. With the help of my best friend, Kat Murphy, who you all know from One Shot, I was able to get over my self-consciousness about trying new game systems, and thank God I did, because there are some amazing systems out there. There are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of role-playing systems, and a lot of them are incredible. For the most part, I think picking a role-playing system should be a matter of theme. I wrote a rather long article about this on the last blog of Krypton, which can also be found on Peaches and Hot Sauce. For people who don't have the patience for my verbose theorizing and rambling, I'll summarize. I believe role-playing systems are essentially very sophisticated storytelling engines. The mechanics in each role-playing system support the structure of very different stories. Systems like Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder are supposed to reproduce epic fantasy. The struggle between good and evil is the primary focus of these systems and appears in almost every game of Pathfinder or Dungeons & Dragons, even those that aren't intentionally doing it. I've played in my fair share of games where parties were neutral or very unscrupulous. However, at the end of the day, we were almost always performing heroic deeds. It's why monsters and heroes in Dungeons & Dragons have alignments and hit points. D&D is all about guts and glory, life and death, and good and evil. If you read the rules for Pathfinder, you'll see that every rule is centered around combat, survival, or issuing rewards for adventures that have been completed successfully. While I'm a strong believer that you can pretty much do whatever you want in any system, there's no denying that sword and sorcery adventure is what D&D and Pathfinder were designed for. If you're looking to tell a story about good and evil that's full of action and adventure, you could do worse than playing a game of Pathfinder. A sustained campaign can feel really similar to a serialized or chapter-based fantasy novel. As I mentioned in another article that sort of covered the history of role-playing systems, Dungeons & Dragons sort of happened by accident. Originally, it was just a very unique approach to wargaming, taking the grand battle strategy style of a game like Napoleonic and distilling it to an individual scale, while also mixing in some magic and monsters for fun. In the decades since D&D hit the scene and introduced the world to role-playing, gamers and game designers alike have recognized the capacity that role-playing systems have to tell stories. And we've used that to craft several systems that are geared towards telling specific stories. Just take a look at Feng Shui, which is undeniably a system that wears its heart on its sleeve. Heck, the full title of the system is Feng Shui, the Action Movie Role-Playing System. I think we did a pretty good job of building a movie with Feng Shui on the show. But it's hard for me to fully express just how easy it was for us to do that because of the mechanics within the Feng Shui system. Take Tommy Euphrates, who was John Patrick Cohen's character, for example. JPC is a pretty creative guy, but all that creativity was amped up to an insane degree when he had to play Tommy. One of the reasons is Tommy had an ability that allowed him to get a +1 anytime he used something that wasn't a weapon to make a unique attack. All that crazy shit John did was a result of him following the rules and having them encourage him to think outside the box.
Up, actually, is Tommy Euphrates again.
Okay, I forgot I forgot to mention this, but after I took out that swath of troops with the boxcar, I wanted to look directly in the camera and say, looks like these guys weren't very well trained. And then I want to swing the boxcar above Cobra Commander's throne, and then so I want to like position it above his throne and then drop the boxcar, see what happens.
The rules helped Kat in a similar fashion when she was playing Action Angel Lala. To build a magical girl, we used some of the rules found in a Feng Shui expansion called Friends of the Dragon. One of the sections in Friends of the Dragon described how you can build a Super Sentai character in the Feng Shui rule set. One of the ways they allowed you to do this was adding the ability Named Attack, which simply allowed Kat to do more damage and be more accurate whenever she shouted the name of her attack before rolling it, which obviously led to some pretty great moments.
And that brings us up to Angela,
Action Angel.
Okay. So this whole time, Angela's been chanting and then doing this little magic circle thing around her.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems ready, so she finally stands up and looks at Cobra Commander and says, I will take each of those 1,000 curses and transform them with love. My love is a hurricane! And I'm using conjured weapons. So over each of his 1,000 mooks, a sword with a heart on top appears and plunges downwards. And I'm going to spend however many turns ensuring that all of those hit, running around, slicing through dudes, jumping from thing to thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Go for it. And roll that.
Your poor dad is just standing here watching you murder thousands of people.
Well, they're swords with hearts on them. We have no idea what effect they could possibly have.
I'm going to call that as a named attack, if that's okay with you. So that comes to a 20.
Absolutely. Okay, so yeah, your swords of truth and love begin penetrating the Cobra troops. As soon as they are stabbed, there like appears to be as though some red is spreading out from the wound, and like there's a tense moment where everybody watching the movie thinks, oh no, did she kill them?
No.
But that red slowly starts turning pink, and you turn their uniforms pink, and all of a sudden, the Cobra troops stand around and look at one another and embrace each other as friends and brothers. They've seen the errors of their ways.
They've destroyed the evil from them, from the inside.
All right.
Essentially, the rules of role-playing systems support different story structures. Picking the right system for your game can help you signal to your players what you expect of them. Coming at this from the DM's perspective, the first thing that should narrow your list of choices should be what kinds of story you're trying to tell. If your campaign is about hunting down evil relics that have been stored in hidden temples across the land, Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder is probably a good system for you to use. If you're looking to run a game of diplomacy and political intrigue, then D&D probably isn't what you want to go with. The strength of the system is in what it gamifies. D&D and Pathfinder focus on gamifying combat and resources management. Feng Shui focuses on gamifying elaborate descriptions of combat. Everyone is John is centered around gamifying disparate personalities bidding for control in a single body. While you can really use any of these systems to run any game, running your game in a system that's built to support that kind of narrative structure will enhance your story.
Of course, after the story, the next consideration should be your players. Robin D. Laws, the creator of Feng Shui, Trail of Cthulhu, and all-around genius cool guy, addressed the question of which system is best for which parties in his book, Robin's Laws. In his book, Robin creates classes for players similar to My Heart, Head, and X Factor. Rather than describe players by specific play style, he classifies them by what they enjoy from a role-playing game. Power gamers, tacticians, and butt kickers tend to prefer systems with more crunch. For those players, games like Dungeons & Dragons, Shadowrun, and GURPS that have very complex rules surrounding character creation and combat are intensely satisfying, because they provide the sort of puzzles that those players like to solve. Similarly, method actors and storytellers focus themselves more on the narrative. They thrive on deep and meaningful character interactions and complex narratives. Systems like Fate, Universals, and most systems by White Wolf are great for supporting these sorts of players. I recommend assessing your group and thinking about the dynamic. Sure, everybody has their preferences, but we're all also pretty flexible. Kat is a storyteller, but she also thrives on tactical combat. JPC is a great player in games that require tactics and story. However, he does his best work in systems that allow for super abstract weirdness, like Everyone is John. Finding a system that plays to different aspects of your group's strengths will help you have a better story overall. It'll also make the players in your game happier. Like I said in another episode of Critical Success, everybody needs to be able to do one thing that they're really great at every session, and that's not just in character. Picking a system that allows John to do crazy things and crack jokes, and Kat to be tactical and use that fantastic brain of hers, I allow them both to play to their strengths. Which, of course, makes the game better for everyone. The final thing to consider when picking a system that's right for you, your story, and your group is something that I don't think enough people think about when they get into a role-playing situation. And that's scheduling. Those of you who are lucky enough to be young folks playing in high school and college might not fully appreciate the profound difficulty of trying to get five adult human beings to be in the same room at the same time. Even when it's something that everyone wants to do, it is very difficult to coordinate it so that you can get all of your buddies to sit down and play. Sadly, scheduling has caused more party wipes than rocks falling ever has. Even if everybody in the group works hard to prioritize their role-playing life, it's likely that at least one session in your campaign, somebody's not going to be able to make it. This can cause any story to grind to a screeching halt. In novels and TV shows, it is incredibly rare for a character to simply disappear from the story with no explanation. Which is why, when picking out a system, it's worthwhile to consider picking something that encourages episodic narrative that doesn't necessarily need every principal character to be present for every session. Shadowrun is easily one of my top five favorite systems of all time. It's not just the tactical combat, the completely in-depth and customizable character generation system, or even the totally awesome setting. It's the episodic storytelling. A fixer has no idea which runners are going to be able to show up for which jobs. As long as you make it so each adventure can be contained to a single evening, it doesn't matter who shows up and who doesn't. While it probably shouldn't be the primary reason you pick a role-playing system, support for episodic versus continuous structure is definitely something to think about, especially if you're an adult and it's difficult to get your friends together. Well, I think that's all for this week. I hope I gave you something to think about when you're beginning your next game. If you have a question that you would like featured on Critical Success, just email me at jamesdamatoismagic@gmail.com. In fact, I'm happy to answer any question you might have about role-playing games, even if you're just looking for a suggestion for your next system. Critical Success is a Peaches and Hot Sauce production. Peaches and Hot Sauce is a Chicago-based comedy network. We have articles, videos, and podcasts for your consumption, all at peachesandhotsauce.com. Critical Success is the companion podcast to One Shot, which can be found on Peaches and Hot Sauce. If you like the shows, help us out by going on iTunes and leaving a review. That helps new fans find the show. Also, if you mentioned us to your friends, that'd be pretty awesome. Finally, that music you hear right now swelling up over my voice is Be Your Own Pet with Adventure. See you next time, heroes. A castle in Gaza.